summer is here, and we're taking the opportunity to pull out some highlights from previous episodes of the After Dinner Leadership podcast. We're going right back to the early days in episode 5. My co-host Adam and I met with Mike Adams, the brilliant Mike Adams. And if you want to challenge your thinking on disability, I highly recommend you follow Mike Adams on LinkedIn. I find his work really inspiring, and him as a person really inspiring. Now, this short excerpt gives you a little glimpse into his life and into his drive to ensure he isn't or wasn't defined by his disability. Enjoy this bite-sized portion of our After Dinner Leadership podcast. Let's just wind the clock back a little bit here. What were you doing in your mid-20s? What were you doing for your career back then?
In my mid-20s, I had done 3 years as a disability officer at Coventry University, where I had studied. Right time, the job came up. We were in a recession at the time, decided I needed a job, didn't want a job, anything to do with disability. It was the only one come up, so I took it. Did it for 3 years in the university and had realised that disability could not just be about ramps and lifts and getting around a building. Within a university, it had to be about how you access the curriculum. And so really wanted to do something about it and persuaded the vice chancellor to set up a disability research centre. And I, at 25, I was a year into co-leading this research centre with an academic member of staff. And I just got a gig to persuade them that I needed to go to Australia for 3 months because they were doing some really interesting stuff around disability and access to the curriculum. And I could bring that back and import it to the UK to kickstart. So, you know, at that age, I wasn't arrogant, but I knew what I wanted to do and I knew where I would get it from. And I kind of said, let me go and I will come back with the answers for you.
And did you?
Yes. I can't take all credit, but certainly within the funding, the Higher Education Funding Council, suddenly there was a shift of focus and there were initiatives and money directed at accessing the curriculum. And an organisation called TechDIS was established because this was the time when online was just about starting and talking about how do you make the curriculum accessible and online. And it just feels, Simon, as 50% of my conversation at the moment is about how do you make accessible online environments. And if I'd got to the last question in our quickfire, and I obviously wasn't quick enough, the eBay, Amazon, actually the whole conversation at the moment is about e-commerce marketplace providers and how by default they should all really be fully accessible, because this is the world we're moving into.
Absolutely. And the role of a leader, so you're obviously leading out already in your mid-20s, what goals and aspirations did you have from a leadership perspective? You obviously had a vision for change in the disability sphere.
Yeah.
Did you have any personal aspirations as a leader back then that you can recall?
I did. I wanted to be known as a leader that wasn't simply defined by my disability. So I needed to prove to myself and prove to others that my leadership could work in a different context. And the only way I could do that was to do an MBA and get those kind of fundamentals. So I went away and I did an MBA part-time over 2 years and then decided that if it was going to work for me, I needed to get a role that had nothing to do with disability. And so I was lucky enough to go for a role as a non-executive director at a huge acute hospital and got that gig and spent 3 years, 4 years of being involved in leadership decision making that had nothing to do with disability. And that was a brilliant experience, and it actually ended with me, the chairman of the acute hospital and the chief executive both left at the same time, or roughly the same time, what happens in organizations. I was asked to step in to be the executive chairman for a short period while they appointed. And I did that for 13 months alongside my day job. And this was, you know, this was a huge, huge learning opportunity, and defines both my leadership and my ability, I think, to take on, increase my bandwidth in terms of being involved in so many different topics, but understand and add value.
So Mike, a lot of the conversations I'm having with people who are able-bodied is part of, we discussed it previously, episodes about the imposter syndrome and people not having the confidence in that. Where did you get your confidence to move into that to that leadership role that wasn't defined by your disability? Where did that come from, that drive and determination to do this? Because it's quite a courageous, it doesn't surprise me because I've had conversations with you, but I'd love to explore that. Do you any sense of where that is driven from?
Yeah, I think one, it's about drive. And I think I've got a high level of a drive. And interesting, you use the word imposter. And I have a different kind of imposter syndrome in as far as I wanted to make sure that I wasn't an imposter in other leadership environments. I wasn't just a one-trick pony. And just because I knew a lot about disability and had personal experience of disability didn't necessarily make me a very good leader. I knew my stuff. And so I was absolutely adamant that if I was going to commit 2 years of my life to doing this thing, this MBA, then there had to be an outcome to it. And I had to test myself in another environment to see whether I had those leadership skills or actually I was going to be defined by what I knew, which was my disability. So yeah. I really pushed myself to the limit to do something else. And quite frankly, Simon, the health thing came up, the hospital thing came up. It could have been in any industry.
Yes.
I would have taken it.
Our after-dinner conversation is done, our guest has left, and you're still here. You're very welcome. I'm glad you found the conversation engaging, and I have a favour to ask. Stop and think about someone you know that would find this conversation valuable. A family member, a friend, a colleague, perhaps an aspiring leader. Send it on to them. Share the message. Also, please subscribe or follow the podcast. It only takes a second and it allows you and others to get easier access to these conversations. Thanks so much, and join us again soon for another episode of the After Dinner Leadership Podcast. You can leave now. I need to do the dishes.